numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network of VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. By the way, I envy Jay Kahn. Going to Toronto to Scotiabank Arena to watch that one if the Leafs can actually win a series. Whew. For the first time in 19 years.
Big game.
I'll meet you on the corner of Spadina and Dundas, and we'll head on over. That's my Toronto knowledge. Let's talk some NFL draft. What a morning. Oh, my goodness. Back and forth and forth and back. Thor Nystrom joins us now. He's an NFL draft and college football analyst for Fantasy Pros and Betting Pros. You can follow him on Twitter at ThorKu. That's T-H-O-R-K-U. How you doing, Thor? Good to see you, man.
Good. Good to see you guys, too.
All right. Well, you have a Vikings hat on, so maybe I'll just start. Well, we'll get to the Vikings here momentarily. Yeah. Let's start with the mishugas that happened this morning, which is all of a sudden Will Levis was getting steamed to go number one based on some Reddit post. I immediately was skeptical about it. It's sort of bounced back a little bit. Do you buy into that at all?
No, I don't. Although, man, Will Levis, he's like the boogeyman of this draft. You know, every time you think you put him behind you, he's in the closet again or under the bed. Like, I thought we were at least done with this first pick stuff.
Me too.
Then now, yeah, and if you look at the first pick, second pick, third pick, fourth pick on the board, the odds, Will Levis is like one of the top two for like every, you know, all four of the picks or whatever. So, yeah, I don't know where he's going. Like, you know, second, third or fourth, somewhere in there, but still be surprised about one. But yeah, it's that theme was surprising to me too. I had texted about it right when I woke up this morning.
Okay, so let's start at the top. And if the draft is being held right now, and I'm saying, all right, Thor, how's this going to go? I would assume you would say Bryce Young would still go to Carolina at one. Then what happens?
I have to put Will Levis too, because all this theme. Plus, you know that Houston likes him, and apparently their team that might be interested in moving up. The Colts, I know, like Levis. They're the one team all process, I've been told, likes Levis, particularly their owner, Jim Irsay. So teams that like Levis behind there, they know they got to hop the Colts, and maybe that's behind some of this trade stuff. But I've had Levis in my mock drafts at two, and that's where I would stay.
You would stay and you would draft him, which I listen, I don't know how.
Not me personally, right. Just in terms of predicting. Yeah.
Yeah. And well, I mean, if I'm the Texans, I don't see how I would leave this draft without a quarterback, whether that's at 2 or 12 or wherever. So I'm with you there. All right. So then if it is Levis, whether by the Texans or by someone else via trade, then are the Cardinals in the catbird seat and they would be, hey, we're taking all offers, or would they use their pick to draft?
I think they're in the catbird seat then, because you know that the Colts are taking a quarterback at 4. And so that's the last stop with one of the consensus 4 quarterbacks, really, right? Like if indeed the quarterback has gone at 2, I think that's where that trade market for that third pick picks back up. Like the better scenario for the Cardinals is the quarterback goes above them to facilitate that trade market opening up. Now, if Will Anderson goes 2, and all of a sudden now there's a scenario where the quarterback, where at least one of those guys could drop beneath the Colts pick, I think that's where it might be a little bit more tepid when they're on the clock. But yeah, that's sort of how I see that. I would bet the quarterback's still there, because I still do think that there'll be a trade on draft night.
So this is really what we're getting at here is, if I could distill this, because people are going to be a little bit, their heads are exploding, right? So you basically at this point have to decide. You tell me if I'm on something. You kind of have to decide if you feel like it's going quarterback, 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 or you have to decide if it's going to be Bryce Young first, and then it's going to almost be defense, quarterback. Isn't that kind of where we are?
That's exactly right. Yeah. And you know, like the impetus for teams like later on, you know, like you have a team like, for instance, the Vikings, you know, the local team, teams that are back later on that we know have been contacting these teams to talk about a trade up. If you're a team like the Vikings, you would far prefer to trade up. Let's say the scenario where one of those 4 guys gets to 6. Right, with the Lions, the cost of that trade is going to be way less than it would be to get up to number 3, because you won't have to give up your first round pick in 2 years. You're going to have to give up your first rounder next year in either of the trades. But like those teams are hoping and praying that one of those guys gets to 6, you know, ostensibly for a trade, whatever. Obviously, if the Texans take the quarterback at two, that's where it heats up, because you know the quarterback's going four. So yeah, the trade scenarios, that's where it gets wonky with that.
Okay, so what that makes me want to do is, let's just get past the first four picks, because we understand that they could go two completely different ways, or who knows, even more than two if there's trades involved, then it's just all chaos. Okay, what do we think we absolutely know? So, for instance, I'll give you some examples. I've heard some people say the Seahawks absolutely do not want Jalen Carter. They prefer Will Anderson over Jalen Carter if it came to that. They also kind of like Anthony Richardson because they have the bridge quarterback in Geno, and they could probably, you know, if they wanted to draft Richardson, they would. What do you think, maybe it's team per player or team to a position, what do you think you absolutely know at this point?
About the Seahawks' intentions?
Not even necessarily them, but just a team on the board where you're like, oh, this team is absolutely doing this.
Well, one of them for me is I know the Raiders like Anthony Richardson. And so if Anthony Richardson were to get down there, I think that they're going to take Anthony Richardson. That would be one of them. The other one is I know that the Colts like Levis. So like, but there's, you know, this is a different kind of a draft where in past years, you know, it's sort of like playing bingo and you get the free spot. In past years, you get at least a couple free spots when you start filling out your mock.
Yeah.
Yeah. This year, you thought you had one, although this morning you wake up and it's like, maybe I don't even have the one. But after that, it's not only that we don't know who the second pick is, we don't know the team that's going to be making the second pick. And you can say that the same for the third pick. And every one of those decisions, it affects every decision after. You know, it's sort of like the butterfly effect.
Yeah.
So that's what makes it so hard to mock this year.
What's so good, I'm just laughing at myself, right? Because here I am, like, complaining about all these bookmakers refusing to book the action, and here I am, be careful what you wish for, man. What a what a black hole this has all become. All right, let me ask a couple specific ones. The Aaron Rodgers trade. A lot of the speculation yesterday was, okay, now that Green Bay is going to be at 13, they grab Jackson Smith and Ajigba. Do you believe that?
I saw Tony Pauline had reported that, and I respect Tony Pauline, and it would make a ton of sense. Like, Smith and Jigba playing next to Christian Watson would be a really good fit, because you want Smith and Jigba in the slot next to a guy that's going to force the safety back on that side of the field, open up more intermediate space. We know he dominates with that. That was the jig at Ohio State or whatever. The only thing is, every time you've mocked a wide receiver to the Packers in the first round for the last decade, you have been wrong.
Yes.
So it is this year, 2 days after they trade Aaron Rodgers, now they're finally going to take a wide receiver. I think that would be the funniest thing in the world.
Oh, the beauty of that.
The symmetry. Like, yes. Would it happen, though? Like a final sort of, you know, F you out the door, uh-huh, to Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it will happen, but it makes all the sense in the world. It's just the organization never makes that decision, maybe until now.
That would be just beautiful. See you later, Aaron Rodgers. We're going to draft a wideout at 13. Okay, so you got the Vikings hat on. What do you think the Vikings are going to do?
I think they're exploring trades up in the scenario that one of those quarterbacks starts to fall down a little bit. They might be left out in the cold if it goes the first four, although we have heard reports that they've actually engaged the Texans and the Cardinals about two and three. But I think, like, you either have that, you know, whether, you know, in with that one too, you're going to have a side trade worked out with Kirk Cousins. I think we know that they talked to the 49ers at the combine about Kirk Cousins, but if that scenario doesn't work, I think it becomes the opposite, where I think they end up trading down from 23. So I think you're either going to see them try a big leap up the board for the quarterback. If that doesn't work out, though, now it gets down to them. They only have five picks this entire draft. They don't have a pick on in round two. So I think you would see at that point them trying to trade into the early second round, sort of like they did last year. Maybe not quite as big of a drop down the board, but to pick up ancillary picks on whether it's day two or extra picks on day three.
How far do you think CJ Stroud drops in this?
I would be really surprised to see him fall beneath four. But I do think there's a scenario where he gets to six. You know, with some of these different things. Now, that requires that second and third pick, they're both stuck in that slot. They both take defense. You know, Houston taking Will Anderson, Arizona taking, you know, Tyree Wilson, or like whatever they do, but stuck in that slot. That's the scenario where potentially Stroud gets to four, because it requires the Colts well, again, I know like Levis taking Levis over Stroud. But like, yeah, like I would say, you know, whether it's four or six.
I mean, if someone was betting right now, Thor, what bet would you recommend for them? Over offensive players in the first round?
I would have to look at the odds boards because the odds change so quick in this. Yeah. And like you said, even this morning, like I just wake up and I'm getting texts about, is Levis going number one? And I'm like, wait, what? You know, and
we all did.
So, So I'm taking a look at the odds boards right now.
Let's put it this way. Do you believe five quarterbacks are going in the first round?
No, uh-uh. No,
you do
I
not.
No, I think that Hendon Hooker stuff is smoke. And we'll see. You know, I might end up being proven wrong about that. Someone respected with Peter King or somebody had Hendon Hooker in the first round in their thing yesterday, maybe like at the Texans pick. Him or Matt Miller, I forget. But no, like for me, I'll believe it when I see it. Hendon Hooker is not a first-round prospect based on like just historical putting him up against some of these other guys. He also, it's really funny, you know, the S2 test that everyone's begging on Stroud for.
Yeah.
The release S2 test for Hendon Hooker wasn't good either. And Hendon Hooker never had to go to the other side of the field. So I'm not sure why he's not getting, you know, any of the negativity on that CJ Stroud is. I don't think it's fair on either account. But like with Hooker, what you're wondering is you've never seen him go from one side of the field, literally, to the other side of the field. It just doesn't happen in the Tennessee offense. He also doesn't throw on the run, so he's a dual threat that doesn't do that. We'll have to see, but I'd be surprised.
Thor, good luck, man. Good luck to all of us. Appreciate the time, man.
Buckle up.
Buckle up. Thor Nystrom, everybody. We'll talk to Eric Eager from Sumer Sports about the NFL draft as Confusion Radio continues. On the other side, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The NFL Draft starts this Thursday. What? No one told me that. And VSiN has everything you need to bet smarter at VSiN.com/draft. Every NFL draft is different, I'll say. And we have five tips for betting the NFL draft. Check out Matt Heumann's mock draft for the first round. And former NFL GM Michael Lombardi gives his draft analysis. VSiN.com/draft is updated daily, so you get the latest position predictions, over under, and best bets from the VSiN experts. Check it out today at VSiN.com/draft. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Rich PSM. Never underestimate stupid coaching, especially in the playoffs. No adjustments on Butler isn't news. Seems even more likely in Wisconsin, like McCarthy than LaFleur. Rich PSM killing Wisconsin sports right there. I love plus money. I think where there's smoke, there's fire. He's the prototype size for an NFL quarterback. So I love plus money, buying into the Will Levis hype and steam. Brian M., for the fall, guessing college lines with Kelly. For the rest of the year, guessing WTA member name pronunciations. Chris Hartman, Gil, just doing the math, but the Derby's 11 days away. Didn't Matt Brown claim that he would finally attempt his field goal before then, asking for a friend, and will Stormy be providing video to the masses of said attempts? Thanks again. Stormy chiming in, correct, I don't know about field goal video, but he did say it would be done before the Derby. Good memory. He also has to drink a mystery smoothie of my choice upcoming. Boy, Matt Brown is in deep. He's in deep.
I already got it. I just got an offer from Dakota to shoot the entire thing, too, so we have video evidence.
Barometric pressure's got to be perfect for me today.
It's got to be perfect.
Mike Alvarez, I just cashed my same show parlay, Gil imitating his mother, and a Borat reference. Betting is easy. Not sure what your problem is. And then less gifts, more picks. Talking about our podcast that I did with Matt Brown and Drew Dinsick yesterday on the NFL draft, he goes, could you guys get back together now with this Levis stuff? Can you guys do it again? And then
redo.
Go fast. Troy says, so you're not betting the house on Levis number one? No, I'm not. Ladies and gentlemen, Eric Eager joins us from Sumer Sports, the host of the Sumer Sports Show. Always a friend of the show and of the network. How you doing, Eric?
Gil, I'm having so much fun now. The draft is here. All the speculation is gone. We have the best off-season event in sports.
Yes,
and
we
it's
do.
Just a few days away.
By the way, great glasses. Let me just start there. Okay. So
thank you. Yeah, thank you.
Great glasses. I like it. So, all right. I'm not buying the Will Levis theme to number one. Are you? Let's start there.
No, I think that, the Panthers traded up for a very definitive reason. I think those reasons were ended up being leaked. And now, you know, the books, It was funny. There was a line on FanDuel that had Young kind of at like what minus 1200, Levis at about plus 500, which were big moves when you look at like sort of the payout for Levis, but not necessarily. I mean, it was about a 10-12% move as far as the actual percentage. The move for Young was like a percent or two, right? These right. are very, very juiced, you know, markets. And you even saw FanDuel raise that number all the way up to like minus 2000. You know, once people started buying back a little bit of Young, it looked like it was a Reddit post that was kind of like, unsubstantiated. That was the reason for that. And I just take it back to 2021, where I remember going out the night before the draft with a few people that we were doing a draft show with and getting messages that Mac Jones was telling his friends that he was the 49ers pick. It's just that time of year, man.
By the way, that's our pro tip, Kelly. NFL draft betting is information betting, so make sure you know exactly where you're getting your info from. For example, maybe a Reddit user who has posted twice isn't the best source.
Hey, sale agreeable 2834. He hasn't been wrong about anything yet, okay? We don't know.
He's a documented undefeated on his
predictions. He got hot Batman takes, okay?
Okay, so then, Eric, and I asked this of Thor Nystrom moments ago. I'll ask this of you. Because basically what it sounds like is, okay, if we are assuming Bryce Young goes first to the Panthers, I think we can, let's just go with that. And then it's, okay, what do the Texans do at two? That's largely been the question. If it's a quarterback, then the Cardinals could ostensibly be open for business. Someone will trade up for a quarterback. It could go quarterback, quarterback, quarterback. Or if you're believing what the hype was before this Levis move, which is the Panthers go Bryce Young and then the Texans decide to go Will Anderson, which is gaining some steam. And then the Cardinals, they go, you know, maybe offensive line to Paris Johnson. We're hearing a lot of that buzz. So these are like two completely different ways this could go. Is that a good characterization? And if so, or if not, how do you think it goes?
Yeah, the Paris Johnson steam I do know is real. Just the reason is that, you know, you look at, you know, Monty Austin-Fort hasn't been able to get a strike a trade for that third pick in large part because the second pick isn't known. Day of the draft, you know, we've only really seen relatively few trades within the top 10. And like it's stuff like, you know, San Francisco trading back with Chicago for the Trubisky pick about 5-6 years ago. You know, it's not very frequent. And so I think Arizona's bracing for the fact that they might not get the trade that everybody thought that they were going to get for that third pick and the third quarterback, because maybe people are a little sour on some of the quarterbacks after Bryce Young, and they're just going to try to build kind of around Kyler Murray when he comes back from injury, and Paris Johnson being that big tackle, can really do that. Now at the second pick, like, look, I, you know, the big board that was leaked to me, right, or, you know, that's been leaked to a number of people kind of around, has CJ Stroud nowhere close to the number one player for the Houston Texans. So you can take that with a grain of salt. If that's the case, then, you know, Will Anderson should be the favorite. But there's also, you know, a little bit of a rumor out there that there's a mandate to take a quarterback there. So if that's the case, then I understand the Levis steam as well. Those are sort of the two pieces of information that lead me to what you're saying on Houston. And then with Arizona, it's just like the trend of, if we get to draft night and no one's made a trade for that third pick, they're going to give an offer that's going to be paltry relative to what the Bears got for the number one pick, even after adjusting for the fact that two picks later, Arizona's going to look like a fool relative to Chicago. So maybe they just take a player, like Paris Johnson to avoid embarrassment.
What does Seattle end up doing? If it goes Bryce Young, Will Anderson, Paris Johnson, Will Levis, what would Seattle do at five? Would they grab Anthony Richardson at five?
I think that there's some credence to the Anthony Richardson hype for sure. And when you look at the kind of, you know, you look at Pete Carroll, who's actually been a fairly underrated guy in terms of developing quarterbacks, I think that it would really be beneficial for these Seattle franchises to do it. And I think if they don't do it, I think Detroit will do it at six. And I've been kind of, you know, predicting at times Detroit would move up to three. I don't think that they don't necessarily believe they have to. And the only sticky wicket there is the fact that Seattle could take him. Even with that Geno Smith extension, I still think they could take Anthony Richardson. It's a perfect situation. Detroit and Seattle are two really good situations for Anthony Richardson. I think he goes to one of those two teams if he falls past, you know, 2, 3, and 4, which is not a lot in itself.
And Detroit and Seattle 6-5 respectively, because they have bridge quarterbacks in Jared Goff and in Geno Smith. Bridge quarterbacks meaning competent ones that would play now. Anthony Richardson could, you know, learn underneath and wait, I guess, is the theory there. Do you believe five quarterbacks go in the first round?
I do not. I know the market is disagreeing with me, but here's the thing. Like, the last quarterback always falls. Like, you look, 2017, DeShone Kizer fell into the second round. 2018, Lamar Jackson fell to 32. And, you know, Mason Rudolph, you know, that number was 5.5 quarterbacks, and we almost didn't even get to 5 there that year. 2019, Haskins falls to 15. Locke falls to 42. 2020, Jordan Love, you know, kind of in the mid-teens projected, goes all the way to 26. You know, and obviously 2021, even though you had a lot of quarterbacks, Fields fell to 11. Mac Jones fell to 15. And last year, of course, Malik Willis, Desmond Ridder. At this time, you know, April 19th of 2022, Matt Corral was -150 to go in round one per DraftKings. So, like, it's just, yeah, I think we always we talk ourselves into the quarterbacks, and then these teams get cold feet kind of at the end of the first round now.
All right, let's do rapid fire last 90 seconds. Bijan Robinson, I've heard him, like, tied to, like, 10 different teams. Where do you think he goes?
I think Washington at 16 is a really good one. People are saying Atlanta, but I think Atlanta's in love with Tyler Allgeier.
Get a running back in a division that has been stocked with running backs at every other team, Giants, Eagles, Cowboys. Do that, Skinnies. Let's go. Stroud falls how far?
7 at most.
7 at most. Okay. If someone had to make a bet right now, what's the best bet on the board? Is it most? Is it over offensive players? What is it?
That's a great question. Under 4.5 quarterbacks now that the price, I mean, now that the price is sort of like increased to, or like the payouts increased, under 4.5 quarterbacks. Go with history.
The Eagles at 10. Will they draft Lucas Van Ness or somebody else?
Somebody else.
Somebody else. Is the Jets drafting an offensive lineman the most lockstep team to a position?
Yeah, it is. I think so.
Okay.
Other than Panthers quarterback, but yeah. That one is, you know, fairly Mekhi Becton, Elijah Vera Tucker, Joe Douglas has a type.
All right. Finally, team whose public projections you can trust the least. Which team do you have no faith in, whatever they say out loud?
Minnesota. I think Minnesota doesn't pick in the first round.
Oh, okay. Minnesota. That sort of corroborates what we heard earlier. Eric, good luck, man. To you, to me, to everybody who's got bets of all drafts, good luck to all of us. Enjoy, man. Great talking to you.
Yo, this is a pleasure. Take care.
You too. At Eric Eager _ on Twitter. Eric Eager from Super Sports. Chrissy, my mishpucha, next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You'll also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event, date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up now for only $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Jesse Welch. DK, that's DraftKings, has a parlay for 4+ quarterbacks in the top 10 picks, listed at -500. What? You mean, wait, 4+ quarterbacks in the top 10 is -500?
Yeah, I guess.
You don't think there's a possibility that two of those guys could slip out of the top 10? I do. I would not leave it.
Yeah. For draft parlays. 4+ QBs to be drafted in top 10. This is not a yes, no. This is just a yes. -500.
There is no chance I would bet that. It could get home, but there's no chance.
Over some of the like draft pick parlays that they had at Boyd yesterday. They're absurd. Like some of these nobody should be making. Like, it's exact player to exact team plus another exact player to exact team at, like, 3-1.
Mickey Baca, this is a great question. Is this the first year where the draft is not giving us that warm, fuzzy feeling? Based off of today's news, is anything being added to negate some of the potential dead tickets? Okay, couple great questions here. As to the latter, Yeah, for instance, like take my CJ Stroud. So my CJ Stroud to go number one. I know those two are the, those two units are in the negative right there to start with, right? So absolutely what I did is started to focus. And because of all this, literally up until this morning, right, all this confusion at the top of the draft. And by confusion, I mean like none of us knows. Not one human being knows. If you're going to assume Bryce Young at one, nobody knows what's going to happen at 2-3. Nobody with any kind of certainty. So as a result, I've tried to focus on later the Jackson Smith and Jigba unders at 14.5. Him being the first wide receiver, I bet, you know, way earlier. That's probably still my best bet. Lucas Van Ness to go under 11.5, top 10, plus money, big. So, like, I've tried to make that, those dead tickets, I've tried to make that back later in the draft. Because to do more stuff early, by the way, with the exception of the Patriots' first selection being a quarterback, just in case of that trade, that's the only exception. Over 5.5 offensive linemen. Like, I laid minus 281 because I think it actually should be way higher than that. And it is, by the way, way higher than that now. It's like minus 4 something. So I've tried to do it, you know, later in the draft. Now, here's the thing. I also have a couple that I bet later in the draft that are probably dead money, too. Like, I had Skoronski over Paris Johnson, plus 120. That doesn't seem like it's going to win now. So I could start this draft 3 units in the hole and just I'm just trying to make it back because I'm betting the other stuff a lot more. Now, here's the thing, and this gets back to the warm, fuzzy feeling thing. Because Kelly and I were just talking about this off air. And Kelly, let's bring you in for this, which is, yeah, this is the first one of recent history of when we've been able to bet on the draft. This is the one that's been the most confusing. And I know a lot of people are getting, oh, this person has been doing so great in this draft year after year. This person has been doing so great. I would match our draft record on a numbers game over anybody's or as much or as great as anybody's. But I will tell you this, I've said all along, eventually we're going to run into one where we lose. So yesterday I asked Kelly, I'm like, would you, if I could just give you a net positive right now, however modest that is, would you take it? And your answer, Kelly, was?
Yeah.
Me too. Now, you made the better point off air. Would you like to share what that was? Which is just, whether we win or lose, the bigger point is what?
Bigger point is just how much this stuff has been moving for the past 8 weeks now. And think about this number one pick. You've seen 4 different quarterbacks that you could have gotten at worst at the worst prices possible of what, 4-1 or shorter than that. Mm-hmm. All I'm saying is take the opposite side of that. You could have had really good numbers on a really good positions on a lot of great bets right now. Like, to, you know, take your Jackson Smith Najigba bet, for example, right? Like, that's an amazing number that looks ridiculous right now. There's been a lot of those situations throughout the past 8 weeks. It's just been you've kind of needed to zig when everybody else is zagging, right? Mm-hmm. So it's this might not be the best year for us, but man, I think it's another year that goes by where I see a lot of value in betting the NFL draft.
And it still could be a good year for us because again, if any one of those, like, you know, again, if he goes first as a wideout and it's, you know, earlier than the 15th pick, that makes up for almost everything.
Oh, I mean,
if Lucas Van Ness goes 10, if both of those hit, I have a winning draft.
Oh, I hope that, man, I really hope that Cardinals thing that Eric's talking about comes to fruition.
Which one?
Because that's where I grabbed those offensive linemen over the weekend top 5 after that.
And you finally bet the running backs one?
I bet that yesterday, still at plus money, over 1.5 running backs. I've got it at plus 122. I bet that pretty big yesterday. I think Jahmyr Gibbs is for sure going in this first round. Bijan for sure.
Would you bet there's some, I don't know which book has this. We were talking about on the podcast yesterday, again, the Beating the Book podcast that I did with Drew Dinsick and with Matt Brown, which is available now. And I was joking earlier that it's obsolete. It's not obsolete. This is the Will Levis thing was bunk this morning. But one of the things we're talking about, there's somebody has Bijan Robinson being the second running back to go at like huge plus money.
I've heard a couple reports that of people thinking there's a chance Gibbs could go ahead of him.
Like, so on the one hand, I'm like, oh, I wish we had bets like that here. We don't.
Yeah. I mean, the other one that you've kind of, because I'm on a lot of Skoronski as well. Like, yeah. I think that's pretty team dependent. Of which team likes which offensive lineman
better. Could still win.
Yeah, I think you're acting a little bit more like it's more dead than I feel like it is right now.
Yeah, I mean, look, all I'm saying is this could still be a winning draft, and in the end, we're going to be here Friday morning. We'll be like, we did it again.
All right, yeah.
Maybe not as dramatically as we've done it before, but, it's very possible. But, because we were talking on the podcast, I'm like, okay, what's the scenario that makes your draft the best? What's the scenario that ruins you?
Right.
And so Matt was very clear. Matt was like, if Will Anderson goes in the top three, he has been bad shape.
So that's where, mine are all kind of linked on that same thinking, right? So, I've kind of got number one circled, because if it's Bryce Young, yeah. I make money. If it's CJ Stroud, I make money. If it's Will Levis, I make money.
Yeah, you have all three of those guys in good money, right?
Yes.
So you're golden.
So it's only it's going to be a small profit if it's Bryce Young. I have it plus 250. Right. It's not going to be huge.
That's true.
But then really where my best will start to pivot, kind of like where Matt, because I have that Anderson over 3.5. So what happens to 3 could be a big deal for the rest of my draft. Right. So if there's an offensive lineman that ends up going top 5 and Will Anderson goes past 4, oh man, this could be a massive draft for me.
Yeah.
But that's a lot of ifs.
Yeah. I mean, if we're in the ifs game, you want to play a ridiculous ifs game?
Right.
If CJ Stroud went number 1 and then the Patriots traded up to 2 and drafted Will Levis, you won't see me for a month. But that ain't happening. So to me, again, it's, to answer the question, this is why I've asked both Thor and Eric Eager this, which is, what's the best, if you're just landing on this right now and you want to make a bet, what's the best bet on the board? And I still, look, Matt's opposite me on the over 5.5 offensive linemen. He went under because the price got to a point where he bet the under. But I still think it's 6 or 7 offensive linemen in an NFL draft first round that has 31 picks. Remember that. The Dolphins got theirs taken. So I it's just a lot of juice right now.
Yeah, minus 475.
Yeah, it's too much juice. So what's the best bet? I'll go opposite Eric Eager. I still think it's over 4.5 quarterbacks.
It's really interesting, him and Thor both saying that.
They both said under.
Like Eric said, that number's only going one way. It's going back to that overs.
Is there only one truism? If there's only one thing we know about NFL drafts, it's that these teams, justifiably, by the way, because it's a quarterback league. You're nothing without a quarterback. And the way you can exploit it the most, the way you can build a championship team, is to have a quarterback overperforming on a rookie deal. So it makes sense why teams go crazy, quarterback crazy, each and every draft. So do I think 5 will go in the first round? I actually do. I was surprised that both Thor and Eric said Stroud wouldn't fall past 7. Because yesterday, I was like, Stroud could fall. If he gets past 11, good God, this could be an Aaron Rodgers situation.
I'm with him. I mean, you and I have based so much of man, what we think we know about this guy as a player, how could he possibly fall that far?
Let me just reiterate that. None of this, I hope everybody realizes that, none of this is ever talent evaluations from us. Because if it were Kelly and me, C.J. Stroud would be number 1 10 times over. So this is not about our talent evaluation. But so I think Young, Levis, even though I don't think Levis is going number 1, right? But Young, Levis, there's so many teams that are infatuated with him. Richardson, we talked about, Stroud. And I do think somebody's going to, even though Hendon Hooker won't be able to play this year because he's still recovering from the injury, and everybody's like, oh, he's 25 years old. Well, the other guy's like 24, right? What are we talking about? The hypocrisies also. How can you draft C.J. Stroud when all those Ohio State quarterbacks never pan out? Do they at Alabama? All this stuff is so, people attribute whatever reasoning they want to their agenda.
A couple other betting tips, I think, I got on the other side.
Let's do that. Kelly Bidlin with betting tips. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashing the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets, and BetInsurance tokens. And if you're planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beat of the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. This is from Joe Nigro. He says, after hearing all the experts, I'm sure of one thing. The draft is on Thursday. He's absolutely right.
I had to confirm the city earlier today.
Kansas City.
We worry about so much of the betting stuff. I'm like, where's the draft again? I don't even know.
Tokyo 202021. Interesting to hear the timing of your backing Miami in play yesterday when they took the lead and Bud finally called that timeout. Curious about the rationale aside from Butler, since a championship team like Milwaukee would be more likely than, say, the Kings to regroup on the road. Thanks. You know what, Tokyo? There was nothing that genius about the bet, quite frankly. It was just that place was pandemonium. I didn't think there was any way at that point that the Bucks were going to be able to regroup. It should be noted, by the way, that they did trade baskets after that. It wasn't like coasty after that until Miami finally did take the lead. So it wasn't the most cerebral bet of all time. I'm not going to act like it was. It got home. Just like, by the way, the Memphis one didn't, because LeBron hit that amazing layup at the end of the game to force overtime. So, yeah, I'm not going to act like it was the most genius of all bets. One got home, one did not. Did you think all my bets, by the way, Kelly, do you think I give the impression that all my bets are genius bets? I, too, am susceptible. Just so you know, ladies and gentlemen, I, too, am susceptible to the random. I'm making this bet now.
Yeah. I think you could just categorize those. Yeah. Knowing you and knowing how you bet the NBA, I'm going to guess those two are more in that category.
Yes, the time. NBA is more that way. That's a good way of putting it. Let's see here. This is from Matt. Good morning, G Money. My research suggests that we may see more draft position trades in the first two rounds than we've ever seen before. Happy drafting. P.S. No way there are five quarterbacks taken in the top 10. I'm with you there. I don't think it's going to be that.
Oh, do we have a prop on that yet? I haven't seen that one. How many total first round trades?
Oh, I haven't seen that either. There's got to be, though.
Yeah, it's got to be. Let me
look. But really, are you betting on that? Seriously, if you're betting on that, what are we doing?
No, but it's always interesting to see what number they post.
Let's see here. Mike Alvarez, how does one apply to become the voice of the guy on the promos that's making horrible bets? The Chiefs always cover by at least 30 points. You know that annoying guy. What is he talking about?
I think this is something for what we addressed yesterday of, hey, when we're in breaks, we don't listen to the commercials.
We don't listen to commercials.
I don't really know what's going on there.
By the way, Chrissy Andrews, just in case you were wondering, because I teased that my mishpocha, Chrissy, was going to be here, runs the South Point Hotel Casino. So I'm sure there's some listeners who are like, oh, let me guess, Chrissy didn't show up because he didn't want to answer draft questions. No, I forgot. Like a week ago, Chrissy told me, he goes, oh, by the way, I can't be on next week. So it's not, let me just give you how the interview would have gone. You ready for this, Kelly?
Yeah, I was going to say.
This is how it would have gone. I'd been like, hey, Chrissy, with all this mishugas with this NFL draft, don't you wish you had booked it? Because you probably would have made bank this year. And he would have been like, do I look like I wanted to bet it? And that would have been the end of the interview. There you go. He would have totally told me.
Yeah, I was going to say, the two aren't mutually exclusive. Yeah. Just because he isn't here doesn't mean he wouldn't be here talking bets about the draft still.
Gil, do I look like I want to bet this stuff? Or book this stuff? Okay, we also had this conversation off air, which I think is, you know, again, disclaimers like none of these are talent evaluations. We don't do that. You know what is an interesting thing about this draft? I mentioned this on the podcast yesterday with Drew and Matt, again, at Beating the Book. Thanks for everybody who's downloading that. For a league that is this pass happy and a league that in the last couple drafts has had so many wide receivers picked in the first round, and in a league with so many of those first round wide receiver draft picks have panned out to be amazing, what a relatively quiet draft this is at the top when it comes to wide receivers. That's a pretty under the radar bizarre development of this draft.
I totally agree with how that number has moved. I mean, that was, where did it open, 5.5 or was it 4.5 juiced heavily over?
Because it's like
3.5 now.
It's 3.5.
And you haven't heard, besides bad early returns on some of these guys, you haven't heard anything about Addison or Quentin Johnson, it seems like, in a month and a half.
That is so true. And Addison, for a minute, was supposed to be the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then for another minute, Quentin Johnson was supposed to be the guy. And now people have sort of settled on Smith and Njigba, with Zay Flowers probably being the one who's gotten the second most amount of buzz.
The one you've been asking all our guests, if I had to make a bet right now, which I wish I had this mark available, second wide receiver selected, Zay Flowers at plus money, I think that's a good bet. Plus 135 at DraftKings, I would make that bet.
I got him over 21.5, so I hope if he is the second, he doesn't go too early.
I found trade props, by the way.
Oh, you did? What's the number?
Yeah. You know, at your favorite place, wagering on the internet. Uh-huh. Over 5.5 trades total, first round trades minus 150, under plus 110. How about total round one trades within the top 10 picks set at 1, minus 150 to the over, plus 110 to the under.
That feels like an over or nothing.
Yes.
Oh, interesting. I was about to say, who would bet on this stuff? And now I'm like, oh, that sounds like a great bet.
So I just thought, like, the one in the top 10?
So you just got to get one, and it's a free roll.
One, it's a push. Get two, you're winning.
I think the first round one, though, is kind of crazy, because who's going to sit there for the whole round and be like, I need another trade?
Yeah, I don't know. I always enjoy seeing what these numbers are posted at, but yeah, I wouldn't be betting that.
Ladies and gentlemen, the bottom line here is that none of us knows a damn thing. It really is. Like, this of all these drafts, this is the one. And we all have, now, by the way, we all have tons of bets. I have tons of bets. I probably, you know, do I wish I had all these? Yeah, I do, because there's a scenario where we win. But shout out to the books that did put them up and did take bets. Again, Stations deserves a big shout out here in Las Vegas. They've had them up for the longest. They've had the most props up, and they've taken a dime on each. Circus had them up for a few days. They take a dime on each.
The other tip,
Caesars has had 5 up. They take a dime on each.
They've had a few. Yeah.
The one that's
cracked me up. There's a book here in town. It's only had number one pickup, and they didn't have they didn't have Will Levis on it today.
Yeah. They didn't.
They didn't. No.
Oh man, it's their one prop. Yeah.
The one prop.
Yeah.
We've hit on this a lot for pro tips and stuff. I'll keep circling back to it. This is, if you're thinking of a bet that you're going to make, think about, is there other ways to make the same bet within the same book?
We brought this up on the podcast. Matt Brown did yesterday,
obviously,
too.
Shop around book to book. We talk about that all the time, but I'm just talking within the same sports book, right? So you know why I've been talking up Jahmyr Gibbs now for a month. It took me till yesterday to finally bet it. But if you want him to go first round, he's minus 175 at DraftKings. If you want to bet over 1.5 running backs, it's minus 195. It's 20 cents right there.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that it's little things like this, but shop around, you'll find those small differences.
It's huge for all these. I mean, take Smith and Jigba. It's like you can bet them under 14.5. Do you want to bet them first wide out? I think you just bet them under 14.5 at this point. Those are two different things. I get it. But there are ways to make the most optimal bet. I have two on Lucas Van Ness. I have a top 10 pick at plus 240. I had him under 11.5 at plus 215. It's plus 260, plus 215, pardon me. So you got to really, in some cases, I decided both of those were fine. But in some of these cases, there is an optimal way to bet all of these. The Zay Flowers one, since we bring him up, the wideout from Boston College. Let's bring him up. Zay Flowers, you just said, second wideout to go. What's your number on that?
Plus 135.
Plus 135. Would you rather do that, or would you rather lay a whole bunch of juice for him to go over 21.5?
No, I'd rather bet the plus 135.
In that case.
Yeah.
But these are all the assessments one has to make on all of these.
He's like an X factor guy, though. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if some team falls in love with him and trades up for him.
Really?
Yeah, really.
I say really like I say really like I'm like I have the nerve to be surprised by anything at this point. Really, that would happen? By the way, here's the latest. We leave you the way we started, with the update on Will Levis's current number to go number one at DraftKings. And that number is, oh man, it came back a little bit, huh?
5-1, we're at.
Back to 5-1. So he the lowest he got that we saw was 4-1. 4-1 this morning. He's back to 5-1 on that.
What was that guy's name? Sale agreement 8534 or something.
My man on Reddit.
Yeah, yeah. Just moving numbers
today,
man.
He's a documented undefeated. 0-0.
Can't wait to see what his Batman takes are like.
Oh, goodness. All right. Well, we got two more mornings of this before the draft. I'm sure we'll come in every morning and be like, there goes the rundown. So-and-so's been steamed on this thing. This is what makes it awesome. And this draft has been the most uncertain and the most Michigan of all, that's for sure. The Lombardi line is next. Michael Lombardi will have much to say about all of this right here at VSiN. Enjoy from the Sports Betting Network.